Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Applied Human Design podcast. I am your host, Heather, and as always, I am so happy that you are spending a little bit of time here with me today. What's going on? How are you? Today's episode is going to be a fun one. We are continuing our top to tail deconditioning journey, and today we are getting into the spleen center. So if you have ever looked at a human design body graph, you'll kind of see that there are three energy centers at this stage, which are more or less like in a line. You know, at least up until this point, it's been pretty clear about the order that I should do these in. If we are going to top to tail, you know, like obviously we started at the head center, we went down to the Ajna center, we did the throat, and then we went straight down to the G/identity center, we went across to the ego center. And then it's like, well, where do we go next? Because the spleen, the sacral center, and the solar plexus are more or less kind of on one level. Maybe you could say one would be higher than the others, but I just decided to read it like a book, read it like we read a book in English, which is left to right. So we are going to go spleen center, sacral center, solar plexus, and then finally down to the tail, down to the root. Okay. Let me make sure I hit record. Yes, I did. Okay, good. So before we get into that, you may have noticed, so I'm not quite sure which will come out first, but when you went to hit play on this particular episode, you may have noticed that there are now subscription-only episodes. So I'll just give you like a quick rundown of the situation. Basically, I have a membership, right? This is a membership program kind of thing that's on my website where you get a huge backlog of my past teachings, like both on human design and like human design foundations and application and all of that stuff, as well as a bunch of like healing calls and things that I've hosted, masterclasses that I've hosted, as well as monthly new teachings, right? So more like me sitting down and teaching like 90 minute to 2.5 hour classes. Now, I got the request to put these classes onto like up like the podcast feed. Basically, I could not do that. Like it is not possible to, well, I mean, I can, which is what I've done. But I couldn't like add that as an extra part, like inside of the membership. So basically it's had to become a whole separate thing. So, if you would like, well, okay. So firstly, this podcast itself, like the one that I do weekly, is going to be changing to fortnightly. This is for my own sanity. I record a lot of stuff. I record for my clients, obviously, like I record readings. And then I also record classes, and I'm about to get back into teaching weekly human design classes as well. It's going to be weekly instead of fortnightly for this next round. So it's going to be a lot. So this podcast will be coming out fortnightly starting from November 1st, like so starting in November, but it will continue to be weekly if you are a subscriber to the podcast. and yes, yeah, so if you are an existing member of mine and you find yourself like not going onto the website, like not doing that and like watching the videos and stuff, and really all you're interested in is like the monthly, like big masterclasses, I will not be offended at all whatsoever if you cancel the full website membership and instead sign up for the Spotify like bonus episodes. You will not have access anymore to the like backlog catalog. You'll just have what's going to be coming out fortnightly essentially and what I've made available today. But if you've already like studied with me or anything like that, then you probably have watched a good portion of the back catalog anyway. So you'll have access to everything that was recorded from I think August or July of this year onwards, and then everything coming through, like everything that's going to come from now on or from November 1st onwards. And also it's a quarter of the price, right? So the full membership is $33 a month, but the Spotify subscription, so for two bonus episodes a month, will only be $8 Australian. So I think that's like $5 US or something a month. Hopefully I've done a good job of explaining how that's going to work. If you are an existing member and you like have questions as to like what's included in Spotify and what's not, because you're trying to decide if you like switch between one of the two, just let me know. Just send me a DM. You know where to find me. And we can sort that out. But yeah, basically I couldn't like just include the extra podcast feed in the existing membership. They have to be billed differently, separately. And that's just life sometimes, you know. Sometimes for all that technology has given us, it's still frustrating to try and figure out how to do things. Okay, so again, hopefully that makes sense. And yeah, thought I'd give you guys notice about the fact that we are going fortnightly, you know, just so you can emotionally prepare. You know, if having me in your headphones weekly is something you've gotten used to, I want to give you time to emotionally prepare for that. And we can continue to connect in that way if that's what you desire. And if you do have an extra $8 a month, obviously it supports me very, very deeply. $8, man, that's like a coffee and a half these days. Sadly, yes, my more or less daily coffee of choice is $6. But, you know, I prefer the locally roasted, you know, the high quality stuff. Okay. So I feel like that's all I wanted to say from that. I'm going to see the Taylor Swift Eras movie on Saturday. So that is very, very exciting. I'm going with one of my best friends and her fiance and potentially my sister and one of our other Taylor Swift friends as well. And yeah, so if you want to see my outfit, see my friendship bracelets, I'm on Instagram. It is at the Human Design Hedge Witch. And finally, there are less than 2 weeks now to register for the Applied Human Design Practitioner Training and Certification. We start November 1st. Also, it's all happening in November. Why not? It's a great month. Okay, so I feel like that's all I wanted to say. Let's get stuck into the spleen, the wonderful, wonderful little spleen. You know, I'm a little biased about this one. This is my authority. This is, you know, one of my favorite energy centers. I love them all equally. They're all my children. But, you know, if I had to pick, I'd say we love this one. Okay, so let's stop being silly. All right, I need to focus. Too much silliness lately. Okay, so physiologically, right, the spleen is connected to the immune system. Our immune system, of course, like, and I think this really makes sense. And I'm going to use this analogy, and I do use this analogy, right, a lot for thinking about what the spleen really represents, because energetically, the spleen is this energy center that is all about knowing what's good for you and what's not. So when we think about that, using the analogy of the immune system, right, how the immune system works is that it is, like it is literally handmade. Well, whatever, I guess it's not really handmade, but the immune system is made to discern between the cells that are you and the cells that are not you, like the literal not self, right? So on an energetic level, so the immune system is going to kill the invading cells and like keep you healthy, like keep you as you, so that invading cells and pathogens are destroyed. Or, you know, just detoxed out of the body. So let's think about that on an energetic sense, right? What the spleen is doing, you know, and this is before we even talk about whether you have it defined or whether you have it undefined, right? We are just talking about this energy center as a whole first. So what the spleen is doing, it is constantly making an assessment of both the energy that's inside of your body and the energy that is in your surrounding environment, okay? And it is deciding, this is me, this is not me, right? This is self, this is not self. Or, you know, this person, this situation, this environment feels good to me. It is me, you know? It's in alignment with me. It is contributing to my sense of self versus this person, this environment, this situation is not self. I do not feel good here. I do not feel like I fit. I cannot be myself here, you know? And obviously a lot of people, you know, have shut this awareness down. We've That's conditioning in a nutshell, isn't it? Like, it's like we stop listening to the part of us that's like, this is for me and this is not for me. That's, yeah, again, that's just like conditioning, I guess, if you think about it like that. Yeah, a huge part of deconditioning the spleen is learning to actually like get back in touch with those senses, those instincts of this doesn't feel good, or this isn't me, right? Like almost like switching back on and optimizing that energetic immune system. You know, that's a great way to think of the spleen. It is our energetic immune system. It is the, yeah, the superpower inside of us that says, this is me, this is not me. And then obviously, like from that point, like it's like the spleen will give you that information, but then you kind of have to follow through on it. Like it's like anything, right? It's like every one of these energy centers cannot work on its own. Like simply having an awareness of this environment doesn't really feel conducive to my health, my well-being, my like the self that I desire to be, the real version of me, whatever it is. Just having that awareness, so just solely focusing on deconditioning the spleen is not going to do much because you need to be able to follow through, right? You need to be able to, you know, we could talk about the throat center. You need to be able to actually put into practice, right? Manifest. Again, go back, listen to the throat center episode if you haven't yet. You need to be able to bring out into the world the, I guess the action or the way of being, the embodiment that backs up the realization you've had that this person, this situation, this environment is not for me, right? So using the throat center to back that up would look like, you know, just either, you know, saying to that person, like, I don't want to be friends anymore. Obviously, in whatever words apply for you. Okay, so. And then, right. So, if we're talking about what is the not self theme of the spleen, so if this is the first episode you're listening to in this deconditioning top to tail adventure, journey, you could say that we're on in this podcast right now, I will just say that it is my viewpoint, that it does not matter if you have a center defined or undefined. You can still be living in the not self theme because we live in a highly, highly conditioned world. More or less, everybody is conditioned. Most people are very, very conditioned away from trusting their body's intuitive, like instinctual sense of this person is good and this person is bad, right? Because we are trained, especially as young women, young ladies, young girlies. We are trained to kind of like be really accommodating and like be good, you know, like oh, don't ignore your creepy uncle, you know, be a good girl and give him a kiss or whatever he's asking for, right? That's like obviously a disgusting, extreme example, but I mean that's usually what it's like. So we're conditioned away from trusting this body instinct, and so it doesn't really matter as to whether you have the center defined or undefined. You can be living in the not self theme. It's just that the deconditioning process and the desired result that you want from the deconditioning process is going to be a little bit different depending on whether you have it defined or undefined, right? So if you have been listening to this series the whole way through, you're probably sick of hearing me say that, but I feel like I need to say it again and again and again because no matter how many times I say go back to the start and listen to the top, I can see, you know, that if for whatever reason, like twice the amount of people listen to the identity center episode than have listened to the throat center episode, you know, so it's like, yeah, I don't want to be taken out of context basically. Anyway, so all that to say, when we're talking about the splenic not self theme, that is holding on to what is not good for you, right? So the spleen is an energy center that holds a lot of fear, right? So if we're thinking about instinct, we're also thinking like our survival instinct, our desire to survive. You know, the spleen is that. Yeah, I feel like it's always the like the super like alpha male podcasts that always give the example of like, well, in caveman days. So I really hate to do that, but you know what? I'm going to do it. All right. So in the caveman days, so funny. It's like the spleen was our survival mechanism, right? So it's going to sense like, oh, is there a tiger like creeping up on me? And it's that in the moment, based on my environment, instinctual knowing of there is a threat to me in my surroundings that I need to either hide from, run from, fight, you know, depending on when your body's making that assessment and deciding what is my best bet for survival in this situation, right? Should I fight? Should I fight? Should I fight? Flight? What are the other ones? Fawn or freeze, right? What's my best survival mechanism, right? So the spleen is super related to that. Our personal instinctual survival, our fear. And so all of these very base survival-based fears of just being a human and trying to survive as best we can, they reside in the splenic center, right? They're really like that fine line between instinct or like intuition and fear is so fine, and that's really obvious when you start working actively with the splenic center. And so when we're talking about holding on to what is not good for you, what that will look like is even if you know deep down that a person, like let's use the example of a relationship, for example, because I think this will hopefully bring it to light really, really well. If you like know deep down, right? In your soul, you know a person that you are in love with is no longer good for you, or maybe has never been good for you, right? They're mean to you, or they make you feel bad, or yeah, whatever reason, like, you know, down to downright like abusive and all those things, right? But due to the survival-based fear of not wanting to be alone, like, you know, just in this very, very basic example of, you know, I'm in a relationship with someone and I'm just, I know it's not right for me, right? I know I need to leave. I know I need to get out. But I cannot bring myself to do that. I'm holding on to this for dear life. And you literally are, because that's like caveman body that is running off that splenic not self, is trying to hold on to this thing, this person, this relationship that you know is not good for you. Because the alternative of being alone feels like death, right? It feels like I will not survive. And so when we're working with deconditioning the splenic center, we're actually working with reminding yourself that you're safe, right? That you will survive, that you are no longer in a situation, hopefully, where you are running from a tiger, right? Or, you know, in a situation where if you are not with this person, you won't survive, right? You are, you know, hopefully, ideally, in a situation where you will be more than fine without this person. And so where we have to work with the nervous system when we're working with the spleen, right? We have to work with the body's fear responses, the body's learned and entrained, like very, very body-based fear of I won't handle it alone. And we have to question those and pull those apart and like remind yourself, like, yes, you will. Like, you are fine. You've got yourself, right? So, where are we up to? Okay. Right. So, let's continue to talk about deconditioning the spleen. A huge part of this, right, when we are working, okay. No, finally, okay, there's one little note that I didn't talk about yet. So the spleen is one of the three awareness centers. So there are, I think we talked about, we started to talk about this in the Ajna Center episode. If we didn't, my apologies, I skipped something. But there are three awareness centers in human design. So obviously the Ajna is one, the spleen is another, and the solar plexus is another. When we're talking about awareness centers, you know, we are, well, we're talking about an extra type of awareness, right? Or an extra type of intuition, like a specific type of intuition. So the Ajna is being like that brain or mind intuition, right? When you know, when you like see things in your mind's eye, or you just like know information, or all these things, right? The spleen is what we've spoken about, right? That more instinctual, in the moment, survival-based body knowing. this is what I need to do right now in this moment. Don't ask me why, but this needs to be done. Really like pulling information out of time and space to just know. And then the solar plexus is that more like emotional or what's the word? Empathic knowing, right? Like I know what that person's feeling. I have a deeper emotional awareness for this exact situation, okay? So the spleen is one of these. It is one of the awareness centers. So that's the last little like kind of basic introduction. But let's go into deconditioning the spleen now, which we've already sort of started with. But the number one thing to talk about here is like this process of deconditioning the spleen. It takes so much brutal honesty with yourself. So if you have really worked with me in any way, shape or form, you know how I feel about brutal honesty, right? That's really all you need. If you want to decondition, you simply just need to be brutally honest with yourself, right? We could skip the whole process. You know, you could fire every healer, fire every mentor, fire every therapist. I'm just kidding. Don't fire your therapist. They're doing their best. But that's essentially what we're talking about, right? So brutal honesty is going to look like, okay, this person in my life, let's go back to the example we were using before, right? I'm in this relationship. I'm holding on to it for dear life. I do not want to let it go. Why? You know, that little question that seems so simple, sounds so simple, but we are avoiding, like the plague, asking ourselves this. Why am I holding on to this? Why am I holding on to this person? Why am I holding on to this relationship? Why am I holding on to this city? You know, if it's a situation of like you've wanted to move for 10 years and you just keep pushing it off, you know, because it's that fear of losing something or nothing good coming in its place. And I mean, there are so many different rabbit holes and like caveats we could go down here, because obviously there's a huge part around like trusting yourself and backing yourself, and then a discussion around trusting like yourself to receive more, that like what you have now is not all that you'll ever have, and that you, if you were to leave this person, leave this relationship, leave this city, you would receive new friends, you know, a new partner, new love, all of those things, or whatever's right for you, right? But we simply do not have the time and space to go down the thousand little caveats that we need to go down when we're talking about the spleen. So let's just leave it here. With this concept of why am I holding on to this, right? Why am I really holding on to this? And then the second part to that question, right? And you might need to ask yourself a few times. That's the thing, is that when you're really, and this is why like working with someone else to like push you a bit deeper is also, you know, can be really, really helpful, because yes, sometimes we baby ourselves when it comes to the spleen. You know, why am I holding on to this? Oh, because this person loves me, right? That's not an answer. Why are you holding on to it, right? And so that's why you would then move into part two of that question, is what am I getting from this person, from this relationship, from this situation, from this place? And again, inviting in and holding yourself to a standard of brutal honesty, because maybe what you're getting from this person is something that you're ashamed to want to need or whatever it is, right? So acknowledge that, see that, and like love yourself for it, right? It's like I've been talking about, you know, so we're all over the place today, aren't we? But you know, something that we've spoken about a lot, we spoke about it in the identity center episode and we spoke about it in the ego center episode, is this just very human need for attention, right? This very human need for love and connection and all of these things, right? If that is what you're getting from this person, you don't have to shame yourself for that, right? Again, we have been so like, oh, she just wants attention. She just loves the attention. Like, yes, of course I do. I'm human. I love attention, right? And so instead of shaming yourself for, oh, from this person, I get the comfort of attention. Or maybe it's not that the attention is even coming from that person. You know, if you are being brutally honest with yourself, maybe the attention is coming from your friends, because you're like, oh, see, my friends actually do care about me, because when I have a fight with this person I'm in a relationship with, they show me love. They show me that, right? You don't have to tell anyone else that this is what you're feeling and this is what you're experiencing, and this is, you know, one of the reasons you hold on, you cling so desperately to this relationship, because you're terrified that if you were happy, you wouldn't get that same amount of attention and love and affection from your friends. Like, number one, you would, or like, okay, well, have a conversation with your friends or find better friends. I'll be your friend. You know, I love you. I support you. I love you happy and I love you sad. Let's just make that very clear. But yeah, instead of shaming yourself for needing that, wanting that, just like see yourself in that, recognize that in yourself, allow that in yourself. Okay. This has turned into a full-on pep talk. I love you and you're doing good. All right. Okay. Finally, let's talk about, so you've been brutally honest with yourself. I'm proud of you, you know, unpacking what are those fears, what keeps me holding on to this thing? Why am I holding on to this? And you don't, this is the thing too, is that like when you're diving into this for yourself, you don't even need to be doing this with the intention to let it go, right? Because that can be a really good way to kind of almost trick yourself into doing these deep dives. Because I think a lot of times we avoid, what would you say, like self-reflection, you know, deep dives into what's real for us, because we're terrified that we'll get to the end of this and the whole time we're doing it so that we could leave that person, right? Instead of going into it with this thought that like, oh yeah, I'll do this because I want to change this situation, right? I want to let go of this person's situation, job, city, whatever it is. Just go into it with like curiosity, right? Like, I don't have to change my circumstances at all. I just want to know why I'm holding so deeply to this person, to this relationship, to this friendship, to this city, to this job, whatever it is, you know? Because it's true. Like, you know, you might get to the end of this questioning and be like, oh my God, I do want to let go of this thing. Or you might get to the end and be like, okay, cool. Now I know deeper reasons as to why I'm clinging to this. And I still love and adore myself through it, right? All right. Okay. Finally, I think we should talk about just a little some of those differences between defined and undefined spleens. Obviously, this is something that could take up an extra hour on its own, but let's just talk about the major differences. So as with any of the energy centers, the difference between it being defined and undefined is the consistent versus inconsistent experience of that, you know, that specific type of energy, right? So when you have the defined spleen, this does not mean this does not mean that you have the soul like experience or whatever of intuition. No, this is why I just laugh listening to so much human design information that's out there and whatever. But like, having a defined spleen does not mean you are somehow more intuitive than other people. Like, hopefully something you've learned from listening to me and listening to other incredible teachers is did I just casually drop that I'm an incredible teacher? Yes. You know, there are so many different types of intuition. Okay. The spleen is the type of intuition that we have discussed today, that instinctual, in the moment knowing, survival based knowing. It is so valuable. And I always say, like, get yourself a friend, a partner, whoever who is a deconditioned splenic person, and just do whatever they tell you to do. But thinking that this is the only route to being intuitive is just wild, you know, just like thinking that you need to have a defined head or ajna center to be creative or to have ideas or to have no, it's just madness, right? So much is madness. But when your spleen is defined, you have consistent access to that instinctual awareness, right? It's there, it's reliable. You will still most likely, again, because we live in a very conditioned world, you will probably still need to decondition yourself away from not trusting it. Or how could we say that differently? We're going to say like, you're going to need to like remind yourself how to trust it, right? How to hear it, follow it, trust it. Know it's there, right? That's just the first step. That's going to be like that first step in splenic deconditioning. Or like, let's say you've just discovered, or you know that your authority is the spleen. Okay, great. That's incredible. That's that awareness, right? I know it's there, or at least all these human design people tell me it's there, right? It's there. Okay, you can trust me. It's there. But then the process of getting back into like, or coming to live from this like body-based instinctual awareness is via like learning to hear it again. And then on top of that, learning to trust it, like, because sometimes the spleen says some wild things, right? And then also learning to follow it. Now, this is actually a really good question. Do I always follow my spleen? I would say no. I don't know. That's a really tough question, isn't it? to the sense that like I'm very against doing things that don't feel good to me. But there are also times, and I think this is something that I spoke about in the last episode, like the ego center episode as well. So I won't go too deeply into it again. But I'm a business owner. There are some times when my spleen says, let's frolic in the garden, you know, like I'm tired, I don't want to work. And I'm like, I hear you, I see you, I recognize you, and I will absolutely go for a walk listening to a Pretty Little Liars podcast. I want to recommend a podcast actually. Like, so if anyone else was present for the chaotic time that was the Pretty Little Liars era of like 2010 to 2016, 2017, I believe it ended. There are two Australian comedians, and they have created, well, a few years ago, I just found the podcast now, but they created a podcast called Call an Adult, which is essentially a Pretty Little Liars rewatch podcast where they go through every episode, well, every episode, sometimes two at a time, and make jokes about it, like talk about it, talk about the fashion. Oh my God, who else wanted to dress like Aria? I watch it now. I'm like, Aria girl, the fit, what are you doing? You look ridiculous. They talk about how there just would not have been a show if any one of these 16-year-olds had just called an adult and told them they were being stalked. Anyways, that was a little caveat, right? So I was in the middle of saying, yeah, like, okay, so I hear you, spleen, you don't want to work today. However, there is still like certain responsibilities that we need to meet today. So we will go for a walk in the sun. We will listen to a Pretty Little Liars podcast, but we do still need to work. So in that sense, no. And also for some like big decisions too, I'm still like, okay, spleen, you're saying something a little bit mad. And I just can't listen to that right now. But 9 times out of 10, I would say I do listen to it. But yeah, this is, and you know, for me, this is where the, what would you say? Like the making the experiment your own and making the experiment work for you right now in the circumstances you're in, you know, because the number of clients that I have who are just like, oh my God, like my body-based wisdom is telling me again and again and again, I've got to quit this corporate job because I'm tired, I'm exhausted, all of these things, but like my bank account is saying differently. And I'm like, I hear you, I see you, okay? Let's forget about this idea of just like quitting your job and, you know, putting yourself in a situation that's terrifying and you're going to move into survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, hearing your intuition and your body wisdom is just not even possible because all you're hearing is, oh my goodness, how am I going to eat tomorrow? you know, let's work on just like slowly listening to your body in the sense of how can we cut back? How can you take other responsibilities off your shoulders? How can you start setting yourself up so that leaving this corporate job is going to be a possibility? Or like, how would your body feel about going to like work as a wine seller for the next year or so, just to like give yourself a break from that corporate environment, right? Because maybe there are other alternatives. Um, No idea what that was on. I think we were talking about the difference between defined and undefined. Yeah, okay. So in summary, defined splenic people, yes, have consistent access to that instinctual awareness. The process of learning to trust it and follow it is a journey. Do not expect yourself to get it all done in one go or in one night. That's, again, madness. And finally, you do not need to put pressure on yourself to listen to your authority 24/7 with every single decision. You're still allowed to, not be totally, just going willy-nilly. If you want to, go for it, right? It's just, again, this is what we talk about, making your experiment your own. Okay, and then the undefined spleen, right? You have an inconsistent way of experiencing this in the moment, instinctual body-based knowing, right? It's inconsistent. It does not mean you are unintuitive. God, that's a difficult word. It doesn't mean you're unintuitive or that you lack instinct. It just means that it's not as consistently present, right? It comes and it goes. And I will guarantee you have other forms of body-based wisdom, because all the types, all the authorities have communicate to us through the body. It's just, where is that coming from? How do we receive it? And all of those things that make a difference. So I'm going to leave it there. I am sending you big love as always. I can never remember how I finish episodes. I think I just usually end up saying bye. So farewell. If you want to find me on Instagram, I am at the Human Design Hedwig again. And if you are listening on Spotify, go right now. Click out of this episode, and scroll up to the top and hit the 5 stars. It takes you 2 seconds and it means the absolute world to me. Do that for all the podcasts you listen to too, not just mine. I want to give this gift to other creators of reminding you to do that. And if you're listening on iTunes and you do have a spare 2 minutes, go ahead and leave a rating and review. All right. Love you lots. We will talk soon. So we will talk next week, but then we won't talk the week after unless you are a subscriber. Okay, big love. Bye, guys.